Go.
That's right. This is Riff Ryder and Bob Dobbs, and the date is December 23rd, 2011, and we're discussing a manifold level of topics, such forth. Bob Dobbs, continue. Go. That's right.
Okay. I understand you just came back from Europe 2 months having fun, and you even went and saw the James Joyce statue in Zurich. What was your reaction after having an America fast for 2 months when you landed back at the airport?
Yes, that's true. I mean, so we spoke about the ideas that, yeah, so, you know, the team spent 2 months in Europe, and, you know, the difference is palpable on many levels. So how do we want to dissect this? I mean, it's so, you know, it's deep, so we need to kind of break it into, you know, to make it interesting for people, we need to break it into a lot of different levels. So how do you want to break it in, Bob?
Well, you had asked me earlier, why does America appear dead? All right, dead.
Okay, so here's the thing. So here's the thing. So one thing, why does America appear dead? And that in itself is a poem. So it's alliterate, you know, it's an eponym. Right? So why does America appear dead? Well, when I walk in the streets of America today, the only thing I see is terrorist images. I see image reflections, you know, which are based on technology. I see, you know, if you look at the images that are reflected on, you know, iPods, and you see images that are reflected on television and internet feeds, that's the cultural detritus. That's the digital dust, right? That's the digital dust.
Yeah, and you say, did you say the phrase terroristic images?
No, I don't. It doesn't matter, because the only thing I see are digital dust from the remnants of images that are projected on these different types of technological fabrications.
Right, digital dust.
It's all digital dust.
And you don't get that in Europe?
Don't. It's like, because people are not that connected to the screen.
I see.
They're not.
All right. So you got a little more chemical body operation going on over there.
Well, it seems like there's a deeper connection to the history of their genetic phenotype. And they think
yeah.
a lot about that. They're much more involved with their relationship to their culture, which is linked back towards their body, you know, where they
right.
came from, their genes, so on and so forth. But it's also because, like, you know, there's a very specific, you know, governmental program to prevent people from getting to the level where they've reached the United States, right? I mean, you know, they have a lot of, I mean, privacy laws with respect to technology and security in Europe are tremendous.
Well, but, you know, you talk to a sophisticated hacker, they can break into anything.
Well, a hacker, their reputation relies on the fact they can sell you on the idea they can break into anything.
So you actually work in the field, so you could see the level of security they had.
Exactly. I mean, they, you know, computer security is, you know, the idea is built on fear, right?
Yeah.
So the idea is that, you know, if you're a hacker, they sell you on the idea they can break into anything.
Well, you build stuff to protect computers, don't you?
Well, I build stuff to create arbitrage opportunities against different information classes that are subject to arbitrage. Well, there you go. You like that. Did you hear what I just said? I build things that are different levels of information classes that are subject to arbitrage. You realize, like, how What a profound statement that is.
Yeah, and so therefore, to do that, you have to know the security protocols in European computing, and you're saying you're impressed.
Well, no, the security protocols are non-existent because the security protocol, hackers can't get there. You know, because hackers ultimately, so if you're in a market that is that is totally informationalized, so let's talk about what it means to be totally informationalized, right? Someone who is totally informationalized means that they are completely operating in a market where they're at the height of their competitive adaptability, right? So they can, you know, they're not worried about, like, someone else, you know, they got the best technology, they have the best software. Nothing they can do or nothing that is subject to is below their own technical aptitude. So in these markets, you know, that's not really an issue at all.
But it's an issue in America.
Yeah, it's not an issue in America because, you know, you don't have, I mean, in these markets, there's no hackers operating. Hackers are low-key. Hackers deal with websites. What we're talking about is markets. And this is a totally dark world. It's a dark pool. You know?
Okay, but now you start off saying privacy is protected in Europe or there's a concern for it. So what's the point? How would you know they're good at that? Okay, Chad, this ain't working, man. You're not even, we can't even hear you. We got to get you on another phone.
Okay. This is better now?
Yeah, but I just missed everything, and there was a 30-second blank spot there. Is there any other normal phone we can get you on?
I don't. I don't have a better phone.
What kind of what is this phone that you're on?
We're getting beat by technology right now.
Yeah. Well, what is it that you have? You're a high-tech guy, so you got the most advanced phones or something.
I have iPhones. I've got, like, multiple iPhones at my disposal.
Is it because the other ones are on that's diffusing the one we're using right now?
No, I mean, I'm probably talking away from the iPhone.
Okay, well, don't do that.
I won't do that.
Yeah, go back to what you said a minute ago.
What I was talking about earlier is the fact that you have multiple dark markets that are beyond the reach of hackers. Hackers don't have scope there.
Okay, let's not bring that in. You start off saying that you were impressed with European privacy or the respect for it. So I just was wondering, what do you mean by it? Okay, how do you know that they're good at that? Or explain what you mean, you're referring to.
Well, I think that in the fact that, I mean, I wasn't impressed by European privacy. I was impressed at the retail level, you know, where in the fact that in Europe, the retail level of privacy is incredibly important. So, you know, when it comes to who gets your telephone number, who gets your email address, there's very rigid laws written in the EU about that are very direct, participative, democracy-based.
Okay, you're saying they don't hand out business cards profligately.
I don't know about that.
Oh, okay, so what's the retail? You mean the iPhones one buys? Wait, I don't know.
Well, retail being that it's, you know, the retail, when you talk about retail, it means, like, you know, the relationship to the public, like a salesperson giving something to someone who is in public.
Someone who's in public.
It's corporate to public. Retail by definition is corporate to public.
Okay, so corporate.
It's business to public. That's what retail means.
And you're impressed with what? The respect?
Nine. Ich not device, Nathan. I'm not impressed with any of it.
Oh, okay. Well, let's start. Okay, you're going to try this another way. You were saying the Europeans respect privacy and they have laws about giving out one's email. Is that what you just said?
Well, I was ultimately, you know, I know that exists. I'm not saying I'm impressed with it. I'm saying
you know what exists. Okay. Are you saying that
they enact certain limitations around information leakage.
Oh, so you can't get email. People, like in the States, they sell email addresses. You can't do that in Europe.
They have very stringent ideas around information leakage in Europe, which you
okay.
don't have in the U.S.
Now, you respect that, or do you think it's just a cultural bias?
I think you have to get there. If you don't get there, I mean, it's almost in the sense of, if you look at the whole body, you have to be there. Because,
okay.
I mean, otherwise you reach a state, which we are in the U.S., where you're completely owned by the virtual, state.
Yeah. So, okay, now since we were talking a bit about McLuhan before, how about this? The Europeans have an auditory and visual bias. The British are extremely alphabetically visually biased. The French are acoustic. The rest of them are a mix of tactility and proprioceptive and auditory. Now, the America, McLuhan said, is not a visually biased culture. It is a kinetically biased culture. The extension of machines, which were extension of the muscles and the movement of the arms and limbs. That's why dances are so important in American culture. So it's a visual/kinetic bias. On the move, physically with their chemical body, on the move, and then they got their cars and planes, speed, and they aren't worried about the visual identity that they had, that the European or the British have. They'll adopt a different name at the drop of a hat and sell out the old name to other people. So
I totally cease to agree with that. I think America is operating a completely bipolar sensibility with that respect. I think they've occupied a tremendously monochromatic disposition with respect to those situations. It's completely relegated to keyboard stasis, and people are completely binded to YouTube ethics and so on, and it's completely divorced from any type of previously literate sensibilities.
Right. Now, did you start off saying you agreed with where I was going a bit?
I agree with the fact that's why I agree with it. It's like they're not there.
Right. They're not visual. Let's think of them as kinetic. Now, that's the way they were in the 19th century and into the 20th century. Then you bring in radio and television. What's all that noise?
I said some people. I will be back.
Okay, I'm trying to make a
point. I'm at a Christmas party.
Oh, you're at a Christmas party?
Yeah.
Well, come on, man. I mean, okay, you're an American. That's what you guys do. You're
that's
exactly
right.
Acting out America right here. You know, we're trying to have
a
philosophical discussion.
I'm in North Carolina, and I'm at a Christmas party.
And you're trying to have the seminar of your life. Okay, so we understand the conditions here. I was saying that you got this kinetic people coming into the 20th century. They're thrown, for a loop by radio and TV. And then the virtual technology comes in, the Android meme. Now, you're watching, in a kinetic people, the content of the extended tactility of television, satellites, computers, and virtual reality, the content of the most adaptable, easily accessible reflex, reaction formation is kinetic space or kinetic people. So the Americans create what's called the American century, at least since World War II, they run around being the kinetic manipulators or the big cop or the bad cop or the good cop. They're running the global imperialist legacy from the money world and doing it with the Pentagon with all the new technologies they invent. So here's America totally in its prime because kinetic space is the content of the electric tactility of the 20th century. But when the electric tactility gets squared by the Android meme, kinetic space is no longer a valid content. Actually,
absolutely.
Yeah, so that
absolutely.
old kinetic space goes into an identity crisis, what Coker calls Panic America, as it tries to maintain kinetic space, and it can't do it, so the best it can do is to be hyper speedy in the illusion of digital media. Move, move, move. Keep the blur going. Do not have any interruptions. So the kinetic bias of Americans is, adapted to the hyper digital tactility, is to have nothing interrupt. Have everything move efficiently, constantly. And more, they only get the image of that. So that explains this crazy, inscrutable, McLuhan called it, the inscrutable basket case of America. No longer is China inscrutable. China is tactile, so they're actually understandable as we get more tactilized. But kinetic space is having a hard time, especially a visually biased kinetic space, adapting to the implosion, compression, fragmentation, and splaying, to quote Quoker, the central nervous system across the universe. So that's why America is the fascinating idiot box, or the idiot bastard son, in the global theater. That's why everybody worries about America. It's this spastic, autistic kid.
Well, yeah, I'm with that, because ultimately it goes into that, because autistic beings is all input, no output, right?
So yes, all flow in a way.
Yeah, it's all flow, and it's ultimately, there's this multifusion and this multiplicity of kinetic signs that get flowed in, and there's no feedback loops, there's no regeneration of any ideas. So what we see is this kind of exponential degeneration of these profusion of signs and information that get just recombinatory and just get fed back into itself, and this bizarre sensibility of strangeness and weirdness and things that you can't really at all try to precipitate or diagnose. It's just,
you can't visualize it. You can't visualize
it. It goes beyond that. And, that's when it goes to a sense ratio, right? Because these things are happening, and, at a really, ultimately at a strange rate, they're kind of operating at, when bizarre chemical reactions operate, it kind of diffuses the senses. And it pushes people.
Right. Now, here's the thing. Most of the world has gotten bored with
what's happening in the senses that we're giving, so we have to extend the senses' ability to kind of retain information.
Yeah. And I was just going to say that America is no longer interesting to the rest of the world. It may be their future, that's Croker's thesis, that what's going to happen to America is what happened to America is going to happen to the rest of the world. But the rest of the world is making a damn good effort to have that not happen, because they do not understand and want to become visually kinetic. So the rest of the world has disconnected from America, including cutting off the SWIFT transfers, and America's been left to dangle and become a ghetto. And that's an aspect of the dead space that you're encountering at the JFK airport.
I'm with you with that.
Right.
Yeah, it is a dead space. There is a meme information ghetto that occurs in America, which is the fact that you have kind of a dead room of information mirroring.
Right.
Kardashians. That's where the Kardashians are. The Kardashians are.
That's look at the name.
Space of information mirroring.
Look at the name. A car dashing a boat.
That's good. That's good. It's like that. It is the Kardashians are dead space mirroring.
Yeah, their name made them famous, and it's IAN. It should be IOED. Kardashian, a car. America's a car trying to keep up with ION, but we're not going to go over there. But I'll just put that on the record. And so you have the car is the ultimate American mechanical kinetic space. That's the national flag. It's an automobile. The kids get their identity when they get their driver's license. But it's forced to dash about and have no respect for other sensory modalities or other sensory cultures. And so it dashed about throughout the 20th century. And now the rest of the world is sick and tired of it and actually could organize themselves with the digital speed, other economies, and not rely on America. So America's been cut off. But I look at America technically. I look at how its sensory bias is in a spastic condition. Because the rest of the other cultures like China, they're subject with their own sensory biases. They're subject to having problems with the Android meme also.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, we require a little more attention here. Are you getting distracted by the...
No, I'm listening.
Okay. So that when you came in and found America dead, I suggest that you recognize that you went from one sensory environment in a hypersensory environment to another, and I wouldn't put value judgments on the emotional reaction. That's just a normal shock. It's like, you know, walking around on the beach in nice weather and then being thrown into a cold pool. That's a shock to the system. So you're walking around in a little more comfortable environment, according to your perceptual bias, in Europe, and then we're thrown back into the cold pool of the dark pool of America. And I don't think value judgments are useful here. We have to look at the whole planet on the chemical body level has been scrapped. All planets are ghetto. Even Deutsche Bank is a ghetto. We're seeing that with the euro. Everything's a ghetto, but the wiring that you're part of continues. And this wiring is what's shocking every culture in the world to the point that most cultures don't really preserve their culture in actual sensibility.
You're seeing the effect of the information that's traveling across the wires.
Yep.
So you have
let's call it tactile interfacing. It's not really going through wires. It's a tactile, imploding, homeopathic tactile interfacing that no chemical body or astral body or TV body can keep up with.
So think about this. So think about the fact that you've got this multinational information environment that is transmitted through wireless information networks in addition to fiber optic information networks. And there is interference that occurs as a result of the signals transmitting across these particular information networks. And that information in itself results in levels of information that gets distributed. And that's what I'm thinking about. That's the after image. Those are the after images. That's the digital dust.
Yeah. But are you saying that's the ground or the figure?
I think that should be the ground.
Okay, well, it is the ground.
I think the ground should be the digital dust resident from the effect of the signals being transmitted, right?
Yes, but the content, therefore, is different as any culture. Like the French are an after image of the French. The Germans are an after image of the Germans. The cultural images that engage tourism, global tourism, are after images. But these after images are what seem to be pattern interrupts for the ground flow of data simultaneity. You see?
But
so
what I'm thinking about, if you think about the fact that right now, so tomorrow morning when the world wakes up, you know, the Chicago Mercantile Exchange will wake up, and there will be trades that will be placed based upon certain types of predilections that different positions take, and those after images are the results of those trades, which are information that gets leaked.
Right.
Right now, the best we can do is deal with information leakage, and information leakage is the after image.
Yes,
that's
I agree.
The digital dust.
Well, that's where you get into what Croker spells out in Data Trash. It's a post-information, post-communication world. It's been that way for 20 years.
Right. That's what we're deducing. That's what we're deducing. We're deducing the digital dust.
Yes.
The information leakage that exists from these things that get done based upon fiber optics.
Right. Now, here's what I refine that. When we say information and communication obsolete, that's alphabetic, imagistic, print, movie images, what you can see, basically. All the forms of old media that you can see is what's been evaporated. There is a weird dance going on, and like I call it the cloning of ESP. There is an involvement of ourselves in a dark pool, and it is information, but it's not information the way people have traditionally thought of. I receive some data and I figure out what to do with it, and I respond or send it back. There's no way for the human brain or any of the older media to calculate what's going on, but there is a transfer happening among the constituents of the leftover Android meme, which you call dark pools, and you can't assess any value in the traditional way in the dark pool. All there is just an ongoing 24/7 touchy-feely dance. I don't even like that, touchy-feely. Just a dance, a touching, a guffawing, a giggly, tickling.
Mm-hmm.
It's, the dark pool is nothing but an extreme case of tickling going on.
Mm. It's an extreme tickling. That's right. There you go. That's great. I like that. That's great.
Yeah, and so the translation, the rearview mirror image of that is the entertainment glut culture where everybody's watching American Idol or X Factor and these things and stoned out on it. The, being stoned on the old media imagery and the old star system and whatever you call American Idol, that level of participation is an anesthetic to not notice the tickling.
That's offering a counter or anti environment to not notice that.
Yeah, right. Okay, how about this? The American Idol level of blissed out ecstatic stone thing is
those are anti environments of terrorism.
Yeah, that's one kind of autism.
No, is that right? Those are anti environments of terrorism.
Yes, that's right. Well, there's two kinds of autism here. You have
two kinds of autism. All input, no output. Right?
Yeah.
Autism is all input, no output.
Right, and that's what people do watching American Idol, that level of media consumption. But the tickling is somehow an output form of autism. What did you say? All input, no output is the autism.
Autism is all input, no output.
Yeah, I'm saying the tickling is the opposite kind of autism. All output, no input.
That's Parkinson's.
Yeah, Parkinson's.
That's Parkinson's disease. You can't input, but you're all output.
Right, but what's curious in the second tickling thing. There seems to be a interfacing and response going on. There seems to be. So we're up against autism that can fake response and autism that denies response. All input, not denying response. But the economy, the dark pearl world you live in, is a kind of output autism that fakes response.
A stimulus response in the sense of illusion.
Yeah. And all, I'm not trying to create a Gnostic vision of this is all an illusion. It's not illusion. It's very real, and our extended senses crave it and interact with it. That's the thing. You can't even tell what you're eating anymore, is what I guess.
You can. Yeah.
Your five bodies have merged, and they're eating and dancing. And that's why, you know, Enron and them got in trouble because they had to do the accounting book in the old way.
They failed at the autistic response.
Right. So there's
they're
actually
not autistic enough.
Right. That's right. Well, they didn't understand that the new currency was not translatable into win-lose, loan profit, debt solvency. Those terms do not apply. And right now, they think that they need a new currency, and no currency can handle the crash of this tickling. But the tickling carries on because you're building it. You witness it.
The tickling.
The tickling.
it's genius.
Yeah, it's some genius.
It's the tickling.
You're actually hooking up more fingers to tickle.
Well, the sad thing is that nobody really understands what the base of the tickle is.
Right, because they haven't had the sensory training of understanding tactile space, which is what McLuhan does, right? You learn about tactility through McLuhan, and however
Euclidean
you...
space.
You yeah,
know
well, that's...
McLuhan, McLuhan breaks down Euclidean space in a way...
Yes, right.
...totally refines anything you've ever read.
Right, and Finnegan's Wake, once you understand McLuhan, you then understand how to read Finnegan's Wake, which is the tactile eye, the tactile book. Okay. Now, that's back then. Now you've got the digital last 30 years, which is,
What ultimately is the difference between the Finnegan eye and digital space?
All right. That's what... That when you read a book, when you read Fitting His Wake, you assume that it's an interaction with you. And we'll call that the McLuhan analog phase, where the media is talking to chemical bodies. The digital phase is that the constituents of the digital environment, or the android meme, are not talking to chemical bodies. They're talking to its own parts, its own machinic parts, even though machine is a dicey word to use. So the digital phase is not talking to the digital, to the chemical body. So that means training and tactility that McLuhan gives you is not relevant to understanding how to perceive this machine that more and more makes you think it's talking to you, custom tailors its message to you, but in actual fact is not talking to your chemical body at all. And that's the beginning of the autism of the android meme. It looks like all output to you, but it's actually input. So there's no information overload in actual fact in the digital age, but most people feel it is, because they think the media, the android meme's talking to them, they think they're suffering from digital overload, information overload. Okay, so that's the second phase. The tickling phase is where we're at now, which is after the digital. And that's the mystery landscape actually becoming known. It's not a mystery anymore, especially when you have something like Ion delineating and articulating the ramifications of moving into the mystery language. The mystery body, in other words, that's the mystery landscape being known, or at least pointed out. Like you have this phenomenon of sinkholes, right? That's a mystery.
Right.
What are these sinkholes? Well, Ion has a very good explanation of that and can back it up with scientific reference points. Now, you may not believe Ion, but Ion can talk about it, whereas all you get from Henry Kissinger or James Lovelock or any other expert that CNN puts on there is a kind of quizzical dumbfoundedness. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
They're numbed. They're numbed by the mysterious part of it. Whereas Ion, it's not a mystery. He will explain exactly what it is. Therefore, it's not a mystery anymore once Ion enumerates it. So that's why I work with Ion, because he's the best on pretending to know. McLuhan used to say in the 50s that he was pissed off at the experts of the day because they wouldn't even pretend to know what's going on. McLuhan created a formula to at least pretend to know and fake sincerity. Ion keeps the talk going and can pretend to know instantly what's going on. Whereas you'll find most people go,
I can't pretend to know. It's 10:30 and I gotta go to bed. So listen, can we talk in 2 days?
Let me, okay, you organize the time. I mean, tell me a time when you're available.
I can do the same time in 2 days.
Okay, and that would be, what is today? Friday? Yeah, Sunday probably would work.
It's 23rd. I can speak 25th, same time, 9 p.m.
Okay, well, try to be, not at a party.
I'll try.
Right, so we will now end this. Let me go disconnect this part so I can stop the recording. Just a second.